Third Sunday of Advent is also known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete in Latin means, it's an imperative command. It means rejoice, be joyful, exclamation mark. It's a forceful command. It's one of the two weekends in the liturgical year in which the color is rose. In a symbolic way, rose takes the violet of this Advent season and blends it with white, signifying purity, holiness, sanctification, and creates this new color that's unique within the liturgical year. This outer garment that priests wear is called chasuble, comes from a Latin word, casula. It means little house, because this last vestment to go on covers all the other vestments that go on before it. Joy is at the heart of this season of Advent in many ways. It's a recurring theme. So I'd like to offer a few thoughts tonight on the meaning of joy, and to begin by acknowledging that in some ways joy is something of a contested virtue in our day, sometimes being misidentified with pleasure or gratification. But there's something much deeper at work in joy that makes it a particularly Christian virtue. So I'd like to look a little bit beneath the surface of joy itself. A helpful place to begin is by considering the first set of the joyful mysteries, of the mysteries of the Rosary, which are known as the joyful mysteries. They are the Annunciation, Visitation, Nativity, Presentation of the Child Jesus, and Finding the Child Jesus in the Temple. Each of them is supplying a shade of meaning to the experience of joy itself. If we think for a moment of the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel comes to Mary, still a young girl, and says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found great favor with God." It's at that very moment that the promise of Christ becomes a reality in Mary that will be shared with the entire world. It's a joyful moment, to be sure, in salvation history. The second mystery is the Visitation. It's the gospel that appears next weekend. It's a beautiful moment to envision Mary, a child in her womb, visiting Elizabeth, who also has a child in her womb. And when Mary enters the home of Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, "The moment your greeting reached my ear, the infant in my womb leaped for joy." This infant is John, the same John who's at the heart of today's gospel. It suggests that somehow joy is connected with the coming of Christ, even a coming that's hidden amongst us as it is in the season of Advent. Think of the Nativity, the season that awaits us, the third joyful mystery. The night of Christ's birth, an angel appears to shepherds and says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's kind of fascinating to think that in two of these first three joyful mysteries, angels tell human beings not to be afraid. Not only not to be afraid, but to receive a type of joy that can only come from God. The fourth is the Presentation. 40 days after Christ is born, Mary and Joseph present him in the temple. Think of the joy of that moment of offering to God what has been received from God. Powerful moment to envision. And the final one is particularly helpful, the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. Imagine the anxiety, the uncertainty, how distraught you would be if you realize that this small child has been lost from your company and is somewhere in what was a great city of Jerusalem. Where would he be? How would you find him? In the midst of that uncertainty, what would the joy be like then of finding him in that fifth joyful mystery? This finding and being found by God in a real way is very near the heart of what it means to be joyful. A couple months ago, after a weekday mass, I was greeting people at the door of church. There was a gentleman, I didn't recognize him, probably in from out of town for a conference, something like that. And the homily had been centered on a gospel passage that dealt with finding and losing things. So the man said as he was leaving, he kind of leaned in and said, "Being found by God is so joyful that sometimes I get lost on purpose. Kind of a neat little insight into the meaning of joy, finding and being found. During these days of Advent, thinking about the joyful mysteries can be a helpful way to prepare for the birth of Christ, and even to think, where are the joyful mysteries in our own lives? Second thought that comes to mind comes from a guest speaker, a priest that I heard speak a number of years ago. One point he mentioned that he was on a canonization committee for someone whose cause for sainthood had been open. He was named to the committee, but he didn't have a lot of education about what he needed to do to prepare a case, a file, for this person to become a saint. So he reached out to somebody that he knew who had done this before, and he said, "What do I really need to look for?" And this other priest said to him, "Obviously, many virtues are important, but one to really focus on is joyfulness, because joy is a mark of the Holy Spirit in a person's life." The sensibility was that it's not very hard to look at challenges or for struggles in a person's life. In our lives, there are many. But when we find joy, we're finding a well in a human person's life that has God as its source. Look for joy, and when you find it, you find God. In these days, it's helpful for us to apply that same directive to our own lives. Look for joy. Where is it in our lives? Where is it in the world? What does it taste like when we experience it? What happens to create a situation in which there is no joy? Where is it in our lives? When we find it, we find God. A third insider observation would be to think of St. John the Baptist, a figure who's at the heart of today's gospel. He's an enormous figure in the season of Advent, in Christianity, but he's a bit mysterious, elusive. He's hard to lay hands on. And at first glance, it doesn't seem like he would be someone we would consult to find the meaning of joy. We know about his diet, locusts, wild honey, his dress, kind of odd camel's hair. He's living out in the desert. It seems to be something of a picture of what we would think the opposite of joyfulness would be. But John holds a secret that he can share with us. Today's gospel, John is thought by the crowds to possibly be Christ, the one that they are waiting for. And John issues an immediate dismissal. "There is one who is coming, who is mightier than I." It comes from Luke chapter 3. In John chapter 3, in a section that's known as John's final witness, there's a beautiful passage in which John the Baptist describes himself as the best man, and Christ is the bridegroom. And when it comes to the coming of the bridegroom, he says, "Now my joy is made complete. He must increase, and I must decrease." Christ must become more. We must become less. It seems counterintuitive, but I think the secret John offers about joyfulness is this, that when we realize how much less we are than God, infinitely less, it gives us a sense of freedom to receive joy at God's coming.